This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnnette Williams, and I am so happy to be with you today. I certainly am. Oh, my goodness sakes, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have begun the Advent season. Yes, we have. And I'm excited about it. I'm always excited about these beautiful liturgical seasons that Holy Mother Church gives us because she focuses our attention on things that are really, really important to our life of faith. And of course, what is more important than the coming of the Christ child who brings us our salvation? So we'll be talking more about Advent as we make our way through these weeks together. But I do want to let you know that we want to receive your calls today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here live on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. We also want to let you know that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. If you're out there, you can see us. And I say us because it is Monthly Marriage Monday. And so my husband, Jack Williams, is joining me on the air today. I'm in the studio at EWTN right on campus here. And what fun it is to spend this time with Jack once a month. Of course, I spend every day with Jack, except if I'm not home. And then if I'm out and about and on the road giving talks and he's not with me, well, then I don't see him. But all of that being said, we're always so happy to spend this Monday with you. I do want to let you know that it is Matthew Gubensky answering the phones today. He is our call screener. That is his official title, call screener extraordinaire. So please give him a call. Wish him, a happy day and wish him a holy Advent. 833-288-EWTN is the number for you to use. We have Jeff Burson, lovely person, who is our social media manager as well as our producer, and he'll be getting your questions right there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So I encourage you to please use that option as well. Lots of good things coming on. I got lots to tell you about. What?
Where were you Saturday?
Oh, see,
I'm wandering around the house. You're not there.
I know.
I wander around for a couple more hours. You're still not there.
I know. I left
and
really
a couple
early.
More hours. You're still not there.
I know. I was gone. I left at 7 in the morning. I went over to Our Lady of Sorrows Catholic Church, and we had an absolutely beautiful half day with the women for a Women of Grace Day there. It was Advent, journeying to Jesus, bringing Jesus to the world. What a beautiful day it was. And Jack, I'm sorry you weren't there, but you're not a woman. So, you know, it really wasn't for you. We only had one man that was there, and that was Father Franklin.
Father Franklin.
Who celebrated Holy Mass for us. And oh my gosh, he gave such a riveting homily. I just wanted to jump up and clap and dance and do backflips. It was just such a marvelous homily and paired so well with the talk that I gave. It was a half a day event, but I wasn't home, friends, until I don't know what time I got home, because then after
5 o'clock.
Well, then after the day, it was over at 12. By the time you break down and clean up and get yourself going, it was about 1:30-ish. And so Cindy Westbrook and Denise McCain and I, Denise is on our staff at Women of Grace. She's also a regional coordinator. And Cindy Westbrook is an assistant regional coordinator right here in Birmingham, Alabama, on her way to becoming a regional coordinator, which I hope happens really soon. She was the one who hosted the day there at Our Lady of Sorrows. Young Women of Grace goes on at that school. And all of that being said, so we went to lunch, and, you know, our lunch extended like from 1:30 to 5, and we just never left. Actually, they cut our server. They cut our server. Our shift was over. We were still sitting there talking, but it was wonderful.
If having lunch were an Olympic sport after Saturday, everybody would know your name.
It's probably true. I said, I don't know. It wasn't brunch. It was, what did you tell me it was?
Linner.
Yeah. Because we weren't hungry when we came back because, you know, we weren't eating the whole time. We were eating a lot of the time.
Or down here in the South, I guess it would be lupper.
Could be lupper. Oh, so it's supper, not dinner?
I think mostly, don't you think, in the South, it's supper, yeah.
Yeah, he's consulting. He's consulting our resident Birminghamian producer who's nodding his head. Yeah, it's supper in the South. Actually, I always learned that it was breakfast, dinner was noontime, and supper was dinner time. Oh. But then we just changed that, you know, and it became, I don't know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Well, you also come from a place where they make man a two-syllable word, so who knows?
You know, I love him. Let me preface my statement by that. I love
him. It's true. It's true.
But he teases me about my Pittsburgh accent. I don't even think you can hear it anymore. You know, but there is a bit of a twang every once in a while on certain words, and I guess Mayan is one of them. I just did that for
you. You're the defense attorney and the prosecutor all rolled into one.
I'm the whole package, honey.
That's right.
Anyway, all of that being said, we're here for you today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Ironically enough, we were talking about food. We've been talking about food the whole time since I walked in the door here. We were talking about food because before I came, early this morning, like at 7:30, I was preparing a pot roast to put in the crock pot. Don't think I do this often, folks. I just want you to disclaimer up front. But I purchased this pot roast, and yesterday I was going to make it for dinner. But as it turns out, we had breakfast, and we weren't hungry. And then I took a nap because I was really tired, and I was recovering because I was sick last week, and I really needed to rest. And so I did. And then you said, let's just go out to dinner. But I felt like I needed to do something with that pot roast. So I got it going today because I've got a busy day today. We were talking about cuts of meat before we went on the air. And so I like mine to be very lean, you know, lean meat. Jack says all the flavors in the fat. I understand that, but I still like lean cuts of meat. Although for a pot roast, you can't have lean cuts of meat. You need that.
Not completely lean, that's for sure.
No, because it wouldn't be tasty. Yeah. Anyway, all of that being said, that's what's been going on in our world today. What are we talking about today, honey?
I wasn't told.
Well, usually we have a mini discussion about, well, what are we going to do on Monthly Marriage Monday?
And when you ask me what we're going to talk about, what is my answer every time?
Whatever you want to, John.
No, what is it?
What is your answer?
My answer is Mowage.
Oh, yeah, Mowage. You know, that's from Princess Bride. So that's about it. That's the full range of the discussion. But you often tell me, well, I have something in mind, but you don't have anything in mind today?
We want to hear from you. That's the number one thing I have in mind. 833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. It is a free telephone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. And I want to hear, here's what I want to hear. I want to hear your Christmas traditions.
Oh, that's just what I was going to say.
And I want to hear what your Christmas traditions may have been before you were married.
Okay.
And then how they've changed since you've been married. How maybe the husband and wife have integrated parts of each of their traditions into their own new tradition.
Look, I just got to tell you, friends, this is really a Holy Spirit moment because as Jack began to talk, I kind of got excited. If you're out there on social media, you saw me kind of jumping up in my seat with my hands in the air because I had a brilliant idea. And he just said it. So let's do that, Jack.
Okay.
It's going to be such fun. We can talk about that in reference to our own married life together and in our previous, marriages to our spouses who are now in heaven. Anyway, come right back. 833-288-EWTN.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams here in studio today with my husband, Jack Williams.
Buenos dias, senora.
Oh, yes. Buenos dias, senor. And so why is he talking in Spanish? Because we are going to Mexico this weekend. Yes, we are. It is the 20th anniversary pilgrimage of Women of Grace to Mexico. And we're going there for the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe because Women of Grace is dedicated to Jesus through Our Blessed Lady, and underneath specifically her title of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it's interesting, and I think it's out there on our website. You can hear that talk that I gave at that very first Women of Grace event that took place the first weekend of October in 2003 in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. So it was interesting to be in the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, but to dedicate it to Our Lady under a different title. But it was because Our Lady of Guadalupe, in and of her presence there, indicates so much to us about the feminine person, the fact that we're called to maternity. And there she shows us the two aspects of maternity, physical maternity, but always spiritual maternity, and the fact that a woman is always called to maternity, whether she has biological children or not. She is called to be mother, and everything about her is oriented that way. And so because of that, that being an element of the essential nature of woman, that she has this great capacity to bring life to the world in biological means, but spiritual means, and to bring life to individual persons in all of the aspects of their being, is really quite incredible. So it's because of who Our Lady of Guadalupe is that we dedicated our ministry. So it seemed fitting that on our 20th anniversary, we should make pilgrimage there for her feast day. And this is the first time I'm going to Guadalupe. I've been to Mexico several times in different locations, but never there. And what about you, honey?
I've never been to I've never been to Mexico City.
Yeah.
It was funny. Yesterday, John had asked me, she was trying to start to make her plan for acclimation, and she said, "So is Mexico City, is it as high as Denver?"
Yes.
I said, "Oh, baby, it's a couple thousand feet higher than Denver."
Yeah, can you imagine? It's like, what was it, 7,000 feet?
It's over 7,000 feet.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's incredible. So, you know, plenty of water, right? And you want to make sure that you're taking your vitamins and everything. So anyway, we're going, and we're very excited about it. We have about 140 people that are coming with us. We're taking an EWTN crew. Father Joseph Mary is coming with us, and Father Leonard Mary is coming with us. We're very excited to have two of the friars coming with us on pilgrimage. We just know it's going to be a holy time. I'm going to ask all of you to pray for us. Really do pray for us. If you go out to our website, I want to mention this to you because this is really just a fabulous thing. If you go out to our website, you will see right there in the slideshow, number one in the slideshow, is that we will take your petitions with us. We will present them to Our Lady of Guadalupe in person for you. So there's ways that you can get those intentions to us. You just click there. You can do it right there at the website so that we have them. And we're hoping to take many, many of them. On Saturday, Jack, Cindy made that offer to the women that were there, and I have a great big manila folder of petitions that we're taking from that event. So we want to take them for you because, well, I love you, and I pray for you all of the time, so why would I not take you in my heart on pilgrimage? And I will be doing that, and your intentions are very dear to me. So we will personally bring them to Our Blessed Mother for you. So I wanted to make sure that we said that. I want to give a congratulations to beautiful, beautiful EWTN Radio family. Iowa Catholic Radio is celebrating 17 years with us, now serving Iowa in, get this, 5 a.m. and FM stations. So congratulations to Joe Teeling, Matt Wilcom, and everyone at Iowa Catholic Radio from your friends right here at EWTN Radio. And I really want to send out a very, very special word of gratitude to Joe and his beautiful wife, Leslie, who invited me to come and speak to women there just a couple of weeks ago, November 11th, I think it was. It was just a marvelous time. Jack, you were there. Mm-hmm. Very, very beautiful. Barbara Heil was with us, and she gave the first talk, and I gave the rest of the talks through the course of the day. Great work being done there. So thank you, Joe. Thank you, Leslie, for that. And congratulations, and thank you for your fiat, which is bringing the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ to so many people there. So all of that being said, we're excited about it. We're looking forward to hearing from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Keep Matthew Gabinski busy. Keep him busy. Also, keep Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, busy by leaving your questions or comments out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're talking about bringing together, traditions from from, you know, your families of origin into this new family structure that's created when you became husband and wife. What have you kept? What have you ditched? What new traditions have you developed on your own? Jack and I are coming in from, you know, our families of origin by way of prior marriages, both of our spouses celebrating Christmas in heaven, we pray, or on their way to heaven. Mm-hmm. And so now here we are. So we've got all of those traditions that kind of moved forward into our life together as husband and wife. So Jack, start them off. What has been some of the traditions that we've kept from both entities here? We have a tree.
We have a tree. We actually have a new tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've got a new tree. Yeah. So I brought a tree with me from Florida that I had purchased back in, I think it was like 2015 or something. So Jack put it up. It was a lovely tree. And like two tiers, it's a pre-lit tree, two tiers of the lights
weren't working. Last year, one tier of the lights wasn't working. And we went through the whole season that way. And then this year, two tiers of lights.
So Jack
working.
Said, "Okay, it's trashed." That was your word. That was exactly what he said. So then we went. Jack took it upon himself to get a tree. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it took two tries.
Well,
I ordered a tree on Amazon that has a gorgeous. I shouldn't have said Amazon out loud.
You did though.
We'll fix that in post.
he ordered it online,
and there was a picture that was breathtaking. Breathtaking. And then the actual tree arrived, and it was something out of a Peanuts comic strip.
This is what happened. This is what happened. So it arrived like Friday, right? So I had this big day on Saturday. I had to leave the house at 7 a.m., which is really early for me to leave anywhere. So anyway, all of that being said, I had to leave the house at 7 a.m. And Denise, you know, our staffer who was going with me to the event was staying with us at the house, right? So we went to bed respectively, and then Jack set the tree up at night. So I got up Saturday morning, and there is this tree. And I said, "Oh, this is really pathetic." So Denise comes downstairs, and she says, "Oh, look at the tree. It's all." I said, "Denise, it's pathetic." I said, "But here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to tell Jack it's pathetic." I said, "I have learned something having been married once before." We're going to wait and see how he responds to the tree. And you said, as soon as you saw the tree,
it's pathetic. What
you said to us, it's pathetic. It's going back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is going back. So we reconnoitered.
Yeah.
We actually found somebody that had a nice tree still available.
Yeah.
Most of them are gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we were, Susie and I always had, so when we moved here, we always had real trees. And I know you did when you were growing up. You always had real trees.
Yeah,
well,
they didn't have artificial trees when I was growing up.
Well, so when we moved here, we had a 20-foot ceiling in our living room.
Yep, true enough.
Beautiful house, lovely house. Absolutely loved the house. I know you loved the house.
I did.
We both hated to see the house go.
If we could have just moved
from
the house.
From the minute I moved into the house, nothing I didn't really like about the house, but I would have always taken another bedroom over the 20-foot ceiling in the living room. But I figured if we got a 20-foot ceiling, we're going to make use of a 20-foot ceiling. So the first 4 years that we lived in Alabama, we took the last four 15-plus-foot pine trees off of this property in beautiful Pinson, Alabama, and brought them home and set them up in our 20-foot ceiling living room. I had to take the biggest tree stand I could find, and I had to triple the size of it with a piece of plywood and screw the tree stand into the plywood to have a big enough base so that it would stand up. And then we would put a more, you know, reasonable-sized Christmas tree in the basement.
Yeah, that's true.
In a 6-foot ceiling. But we had that, and then we bought a larger 9-foot, I think, tree, pre-lit artificial tree after we had exhausted all of the large pine trees off of that one property. That was a retail establishment. I didn't go steal somebody's pine
trees. Yeah, I was going to ask that question.
No, it was it's a Christmas tree operation that they have there, and so
that's what you did.
That was the probably the biggest part of our tradition.
Yeah,
everything else was kind of fluid.
Well, the tradition that I think that I brought to our marriage is what I serve for Christmas dinner. It's always the same.
It's lamb. It's lamb.
Yeah, we serve it's lamb and tenderloin. So we fix a tenderloin and we fix a leg of lamb. And the leg of lamb came from Anthony. Mm-hmm. He was Croatian, and that came from his tradition. So they always had a leg of lamb. My family always had turkey. I'm not a big turkey lover. Like, once a year is plenty for me. So we don't have turkey. So I ditched the turkey.
We always have ham.
Well, ham is very good. I don't mind a piece of ham. But anyway, I would rather have lamb than the ham. So that's what we have. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Christine's with us. We're going to take her call. Let me give you those numbers first. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Christine from Indiana, we're so happy to have you with us today. Thank you for listening to us via the EWTN app. And friends, the EWT app is free. You should download it if you don't have it, because you're missing out on a really terrific app. So, Christine, tell us all about your tradition.
Well, Jeanette and Jack, happy Advent.
Thank you, and same to you.
Thank you for this opportunity to share, because we've been a military family and moved around a lot. And I'm an American now, but I was born in London, England, and I'm also half German. And we were stationed in Germany for a long time. And so our Christmas has always been a mix of tradition. It's really international, those that we bring in. I have to tell you, though, the funniest thing is I realized that my husband is insistent that the tree and the Advent wreath get done. And I always like, because of the Christmas markets in Germany, that to me just, there's something about the Christmas market. They're called Christkindlmarkt. And they just bring this wonder. And those are the memories that I have, also from a child in Germany. Germany really does Christmas and the awe and the wonder right to me.
Yes.
Anyway.
Oh, Tannenbaum. Oh, Tannenbaum.
last year, my mother was visiting from Europe, and my mother and my husband spent Christmas together, and I was actually in Kansas. Our daughter-in-law and son were expecting twins, and actually we'd already, I think, at Thanksgiving they'd lost the heartbeat of one of them, and actually her twin was born on Christmas Eve. So this is going to start a new memories, new things. But putting up the Christmas tree and the Advent wreath has always been a battle in our house. And yesterday, for the first time in quite a few years, I was able to actually make my own Advent wreath, which has always been something that has been very special to me. But then when I couldn't get it done in time, my husband just went and bought something made in China.
Oh, dear.
Yes. So yesterday, I loved going on the walk and you know, picking out the right pieces of evergreen and some berries. And we actually have some juniper berry trees that are also evergreen, and they have little blueberries on them. And I actually was able to make an Advent wreath for the first time in many years. And actually, my husband started what I hope will be a new tradition, because mission is going on in our local parish. We've gone to Mass on Saturday, and the priest had asked us to say three Hail Marys every day during the mission for ourselves and for the mission and for the parish. And my husband, as we lit the first candle on our table, he started praying the Hail Mary. And we prayed three Hail Marys, and I just thought, that's beautiful. I love it. So I think yesterday, yesterday. A new tradition was born in our family.
Isn't that beautiful? I like that so much, Christine. And it's beautiful to bring in these lovely religious traditions. And I do know that Germany, in a very special way, has always celebrated Christmas. And I've heard about the German markets. And one of these days, maybe it would be fun to be able to experience that for myself. Because I and our producer is nodding his head because he's traveled quite a bit. And he has spent some time there and has been to those German markets. I hear it's just fantastic. I also love the fact that, the making of your own Advent wreath, that's a very special thing. I can remember as a child, now we didn't make our own Advent wreath, but I remember that my father used to decorate the front door of our home, the surround of it, with live branches from
the lentil
Christmas
and door
trees.
Posts.
Yes, the lentil and door posts, and then he would string lights through. My grandfather used to do the same thing, and those are treasured memories. Thank you so much for sharing, and how beautiful it is that you've been able to combine these traditions and to experience them and to share them again. And you mentioned something else I think is lovely. You know, traditions can be made, and this idea of this three Hail Marys prior to the lighting of the candle as well is a beautiful thing.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I have to briefly say that I am going with you in spirit to Mexico. I wish I was going with you for real, because Our Lady of Guadalupe used you, in particular, your show, to bring me into the fullness of the faith through Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Oh, my goodness.
Through that image, yeah.
Oh, how beautiful. Well, I will thank her in a special way for that. And may many, many, many more conversions to the faith come by way of her. And we'll be praying for that in a special way. Christine, thank you so very much. You hear that music. We're going to go to a break. We've got some people that are responding to us out there at EWTM Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We want to hear from you. Christine took the plunge and gave us a call. You can do the same thing. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. What is your family tradition? How did you blend traditions? That's what we're talking about today on Monthly Marriage Monday. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are so happy you are with us today here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. Always inviting you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of great resources are there for you, as well as a list of our upcoming events. Every Wednesday here on Women of Grace Live, it's Wacky Wednesday with Sue Brinkman. I want to remind you about that New Age blog that is out there for you. So that's one of the very special features that we have on our website, along with the archiving of all of our television programs and radio programs as well. Great resources for you to live the abundant life and to share that abundant life with others. Do want to call your attention specifically in those upcoming events to the Benedicta Institute for Women, which is being relaunched in April of this year at Our Lady of Florida Retreat House. Dr. Donald Wallenfang is going to be presenting for that. You can gain a certification in Catholic women's leadership as you go through this formation that we will offer you through the Benedicta Institute for Women. We've had many women that have been interested. We're hoping that you'll join us there. Take a look at it. We can answer any questions that you might have by contacting us at the ministry. There's ways to do that right there at the website. You can also register once you read about it if you choose to join us there. You can do that right online as well. Very, very eager for this beautiful opportunity to make available to women, inclusive of myself. I'll be going through the program with this initial offering, going through the program, and I hope that you will join us and go through it too. So all of that information is available for you on our website. So we're talking about traditions today. You know, Jack and I, this is a second marriage for us, and we have brought some traditions into our life together that originated from our prior marriages or from our families of origin. And we would love to hear what you've done and how it is that you've brought traditions together, how it is that you want to pass them on to your own children. Anna Marie is out there on YouTube. She says, Charlie Brown Christmas trees are great. We had one when first married. Every time we closed the front door, a piece of it would fall off. She says, then there's the time we bought a fake one, 8 feet tall, didn't look that big because we were in a showroom at a mall. She says, got it home. It took over the entire living room. Dog laid under it with the manger. And that can happen because, you know, you just don't have that capacity to really appropriate spacing well when you're in a very large space or a very small space. It's hard to picture it in your house. I think everybody's had some kind of a similar situation occur that way. And then Nettie D out there says, I crochet.
She solved the Christmas tree size problem.
She did?
Yes.
Yeah, she says, I crochet a small Christmas tree, actually. But isn't that a beautiful thing? I never heard of crocheting a Christmas tree. I'd love to see that. Take a picture of it and send it to us. I'd love to see it. And that is a lovely, lovely thing to do. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Also available for you there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page. In studio today with my husband, Jack Williams. It's a monthly marriage Monday. Esperanza. I love that name. Oh,
Esperanza.
I love it. It means hope. I love it. Esperanza is with us from Flowery Branch, Georgia. It sounds like an absolutely charming place to live. She is listening to us via Alexa today. Hey, Esperanza, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
About my voice. It's kind of horsey.
Well, I'm so glad. Thank you. So tell us.
Okay, I want to share two beautiful traditions. I'm from Colombia, South America. And I've been living here for many years. So every 7th and 8th of December, we light candles for the Virgin Mary. The city I'm from is Medellin. So if you go to the city that day, you're going to see lights all over the city, candles for the Virgin Mary. We call actually the candle day, but it's, the tradition is for the Virgin Mary. The second tradition is to pray to the baby Jesus. We get together, we do the nativity and pray around the nativity from the 16th to the 24th, and we sing carols, and we have a special prayer. It's a novena that we have. I think it came from a nun, a monk in Ecuador. So we pray that novena, we get together, we share special food from our country, and we sing carols with the kids, and we definitely get ready and prepare for it.
That is so beautiful. What a beautiful, beautiful tradition. Now, you obviously are living here in the United States now. So have you brought those traditions with you? Do you practice those same beautiful, beautiful ways of giving honor for this season in your home here?
Yes, definitely. My kids got the traditions. I have 7 grandkids, and we get together and we pray the novena. And I also send the candles, so we have a special candles to lead. So we do. We have the tradition. I brought the tradition with us.
Oh, that is so lovely.
That is terrific. So, Esperanza, they say that the most perfect Spanish is spoken in Colombia. Do you agree?
I'm proud of that.
And that's beautiful.
Well, don't get me wrong. We speak different from the Caribbean and the South America. So definitely, there's a lot of words that are different. We say that we speak Castilian. That's exactly what the people say.
Yes.
Spanish, but
And you know, and that's what I always heard was that Castilian Spanish is the purest of Spanish, and that's what you speak there. A gentleman who's traveled to so many of the Central American and South American countries that the most beautiful women are from Colombia. That is what he says. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, he knows. So there you have it. So thank you for sharing that beautiful custom with us. We really, really appreciate it, Esperanza. And you have a blessed and holy Advent, okay?
You too. And I will send you pictures if I can, okay?
Oh, I would love it. Thank you. Thank you. We'll look forward to receiving
thank
it. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Happy Advent. Bye.
Thank you. Happy Advent to you, too. How lovely is that, right? What a lovely lady. Let's go to Gina. Gina is in Cleveland, Ohio today. Very eager to hear what Gina has to say. She is listening to us via The Rock. The Rock. We love Cleveland rocks with The Rock. Hi, Gina.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Great. It certainly does rock the rock.
It does.
I have a, actually, it's a tradition I started in my classroom. I taught middle school and high school, and religion was one of the subjects I taught. Mm. And I came across this years and years and years ago, and I started it with my children. And even 7th and 8th graders loved it, and their families loved it, and even the high school kids liked it. But what you do is, I mean, we would take large index cards and you fold them in half so they become a rectangle. You put a little slit in the fold, in the center of the fold, and then you take, and you have two of those, and then you take a larger rectangle and you fold that in half lengthwise, and then you put the angle of that fold into each of the slits, so you create a little manger. You know what I'm saying? If you can imagine that.
Oh.
So they created a manger, a small one, and each child had a manger. And then one of the things I did is I taught them to, you know, go home and do this. And so you could take cardboard or other things and construct a larger manger that you would put in a central place in your home. And every child in the home, even mom and dad, had a small manger in their room. And next to that manger, or in a little bag or box, we either used regular hay or the kind that you buy in the craft store. Or I just took yellow construction paper and they made slivers with it. So what happens is, starting in Advent, we did this before Advent, and starting, because the idea was, and how I started it was, I asked the kids, they're all talking about what they're going to get for Christmas. And I said, what are you giving Jesus for Christmas? And they looked at me like, what? I said, well, what are you giving him? It's his birthday. You're all talking about all your stuff. And they go, well, and I said, well, here's an idea. So what happens is, they take their little manger home, they set up the other manger in the central part of their home, maybe with a Bible or candles or a statue or whatever, crucifix. And every day they perform an act of kindness in silence. Nobody else knows about it. So for every act of kindness they perform, they need to do at least one. They need to try to do at least one. They can put in the privacy of their own room, a piece of straw in their manger, in their little manger. And then once a week, they can, when nobody else is looking, go into the main room and throw it in the bigger manger, in the family manger. So what happens is, then as that manger grows over the course of Advent, then Christmas Eve, maybe before they go to Mass or after, they read the story of the Nativity. They sit around the manger, the thing. They read the story of the Nativity, and then they place a doll or a baby Jesus or something that they have onto the manger as. And so what happens is, the softness of the straw, which is really the gift of their self, their little gifts of self, the self-denial that they made, though, that becomes the bed for Jesus. That's their gift. And their silence represents all the wrapping and the bows on the gift. And so it becomes not only an individual gift to baby Jesus, to God, but also, and it's a sacrificial gift. So they perform an act of sacrifice, or, you know, every day or throughout Advent, and for every one, they can put a piece of straw in it. So they took it home. They did it. Most of the families really loved it. And the kids, and when I did it in my classroom, we did that too. So, but we didn't have individual mangers. We just had like a one in the little altar I had set up for Christmas.
Gina, that is such a beautiful custom. That is such a beautiful thing to do. I love it for ever so many reasons. I love it because of the symbolism of it. But also, too, it brings back something that we've forgotten about with regard to Advent. We know that the main penitential season of the year is Lent. However, Advent in its history was also a penitential season. We see that in the priest wearing the purple vestments. So there is this aspect of penance in preparation for the coming of the Christ child. So what you're really teaching them or have taught them in the past, and I'm sure they continue to do it and you continue to do it, is this penitential nature of offering the gift of self to the Christ child. And I think it's absolutely beautiful. It's just a lovely, lovely thing to do. I thank you for sharing it. I'm just thinking that lots of people listening today may want to do the same kind of a thing in their own homes or in their own families. Jack, you have something you want to comment on there?
No, it's great. It's terrific. Yeah, that's awesome.
They have children. And one of the things they can do when they make their manger, they can decorate it.
Uh-huh.
They can make, and it's not. It's also a family gift, which is something they're doing together as a family.
Well, that's it.
So
yeah.
I would have the kids just shout out, what are some things you can do? What are some acts of, what are little sacrifices you can do? I mean, things as simple as, you know, somebody left their shirt somewhere, or they left it on the floor, so pick it up and put it in the laundry bin. Taking out the trash when nobody asked you to do it. Turning down their mom and dad's bed in the morning or at night and putting a little note that says, I love you or something on it. Putting something in their lunchbox, you know. Just any, I mean, they came up with all kinds of things that they could do at home. And
well,
even for the, you know, so it was wonderful.
Yes, and you're teaching them virtue. I mean, you're teaching them virtue. You're teaching them humility. You're teaching them service. You know, you're teaching them all of these, you know, realities that comprise a spiritual life that help us in our path on union to God. And hopefully, you know, by the time Advent is over, they've developed some holy habits that they'll continue to do all through the year. That is beautiful, Gina. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love it. I just love it.
I love it, too. Like I said, it's not mine. I didn't originate it. I read it somewhere, and I thought it was great.
Yeah,
the other thing I saw that some of my families did is at Christmas time when they got all their gifts, the kids would pick one gift and they'd donate it. They would pick one gift, give it to a needy family.
That's lovely.
And it's one of their new gifts, new toys, not just their old toys. But
yeah, the new ones.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was awesome. Yeah, I can't imagine teaching it. I mean, I think it's wonderful when you start with a young child and you start doing that. And even the parents do it. That's
yeah.
the hard thing. But they have to give up something. So
yeah. Well, I'll tell you.
Giving is what Advent is all. I mean, that's what love is all about.
That's right. Well, thank you, Gina. I really appreciate all the good suggestions you've given to us today. Thank you so very, very much.
You know, I love Michael's watching on YouTube, and he says that he still has the plastic tree that his mom and brother bought at Kmart 25 years ago. And he said he also has three ornaments that his mom and dad bought in 1947 and that they're older than he is. Boy, I remember, you know, when I was growing up, we had the same artificial Christmas tree for my entire growing up years. It was like a little 5-foot tree, and we were talking about this last night, and my mother had this tree decorated, the lights, the ornaments, the tinsel, the garland, everything on this tree was blue.
Yeah.
And so I don't put blue ornaments on any tree.
Do you have any of those ornaments?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. We put, now, one of the things that we have brought into the marriage is that, you know, we've brought our ornaments into the marriage. So we put up two trees. We have one downstairs in the living room, and then we've got one upstairs in the loft. And the one in the living room, I've been collecting Lennox ornaments since 1983, since they first came out with them. So we kind of decorate it with mostly that. But upstairs, you know, it's all of the ornaments that you've had from your children,
well,
and that
always,
I have from my children,
yeah,
when they were little kids, you know, all of that. It's like the kids' tree up there.
Yeah, well, we always had the big, you know, 20-foot ceiling tree.
Yeah.
It was always kind of our more formal, for lack of a better term, ornaments. Not everything on there was terribly formal, but then the tree downstairs was more of the crafty sort of things like you're talking about, and little Hallmark ornaments and that kind of stuff were on that tree. So I'm pretty excited about this new tree because it's about 1.5 feet taller than the previous tree that we have in the living room now.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that there's some room outside of the Lennox ornaments to put some other things on there too this time.
Oh yeah. Well, no, we did. We had other ornaments on there too, but it was primarily that. But I agree with you. I think that'll be very nice. We'll work that out. So we'll have a discussion about that. It'll work out perfectly.
And Jennifer B on
we'll
YouTube says she loves us.
Oh, I see that. Thank you, Jennifer B. We love you, too. She says, I love you, too. Inspiration for me and my husband. My husband and I celebrated our first wedding anniversary on Saturday, 12/2. Well, congratulations to you. How beautiful. She says, I brought from my past decorating for Advent prior to Christmas. Very lovely. Very, very good. So, thank you very much for the kind compliment. And kudos to you on this beautiful first year of marriage. May it be the first of many, many anniversaries that you celebrate together. I have it on record as the fact that very few people make it to 50. Try to make it to 75, Jennifer, if you can. That would be just lovely. Every year is a grace. Jack and I will be celebrating our sixth in 2024, so we're looking forward to that. Let's get to Mary Ann, sweetheart. She is in Grand Rapids, Michigan today. And she is listening to us via Holy Family Radio. I was at one time invited up to Grand Rapids by Holy Family Radio many years ago. I'd love to come back. Mary Ann, how are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you, Jeanette. And hi, Jack, also to you. We would love to have you come back to Grand Rapids. Anytime, you can fit us in your schedule.
Okay. I'll make my way there. So tell us now, what is it that you have been doing?
Well, I have been collecting, unbeknownst to me, the collection began of nativity sets. And I received my mother's after my parents, after they both passed away, and along with my in-laws, received theirs, and also my sister-in-law, who had brought a beautiful set from Poland. And we have traveled extensively to many other countries. And along the way, I've collected nativity sets in Spain and in Croatia. My daughter traveled to Africa last year and brought me a beautiful little nativity. I had a friend who did a mission in Haiti, brought me a beautiful handmade little nativity out of a palm branch and palms. And I did a mission trip myself in El Salvador and received a beautiful thank you nativity. Little did they know that I collected them.
Isn't that interesting?
And so they are around my house. And I have a name assigned to each one that they will be passed on to my grandchildren.
Oh, isn't that beautiful, Mary Ann? What a beautiful, beautiful collection. What a treasured way to be able to celebrate Christmas every year. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the universality of the church that's present there in your home and the universality of the message of salvation. What a beautiful thing.
You know,
I like most about it is that the children in their young ages realize that everyone around the world celebrates this glorious birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Jack, you wanted to comment?
Yeah, I've heard of that. It's collecting nativity sets. That's really a cool thing to do. And we actually had, when we were living in Des Moines, in the Diocese of Des Moines, down in the lower level of the pastoral center where the bishop's offices and the diocesan offices were, the lower level was just a large open area, and they would hold receptions there after confirmations and things like that. But every year, sometime during Advent, they would have a Sunday where people would bring in their nativity sets, and they would set up the entire open area floor with all of these nativity sets that people have brought in. You know, some of them were pretty elaborate, and that was always fun to go walk through all of those nativity sets.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That idea.
So, Mary Ann, let me ask you, out of all of them, and this is going to be a hard question to answer, but do you have one that is particularly meaningful or that you prefer the most?
Well, some are simple, as Jack pointed out. My mother-in-law's is large, very large, and takes up a lot of space, but I am quite partial to it. And my mom's, I guess, because those to hold so much meaning to me from my childhood and my husband's childhood. My mom's a small, beautiful, made in Italy, and my aunt brought it back for her from one of their trips years and years and years ago. And it's just a beautiful, fine porcelain set. So those two maybe are the most special. I received a beautiful hand-carved set for a wedding present. That's special to me too. That'll never break. That's wooden, so that's special too.
Yes, so, I know it's hard to select, but I can understand the tie that you have to the ones from, you know, your families and the beautiful realities of the memories that that brings forth for you from them. Well, that is a beautiful, beautiful thing that you've been doing and a beautiful custom and something that, you know, I'm thinking like a Jennifer there who's just married, you know, beautiful ideas for you, Jennifer, and how it is that you can begin to make very special these moments that you spend in your married life with your husband. Marianne, thank you so very much for sharing with us today. You've brought us to the end of our program and ended on a beautiful note. Thank you for that.
Kathy, call John App back tomorrow. We want to hear your tradition.
Yes, Kathy, if you would please call me back tomorrow. I would appreciate it very, very much. I'm going to be with you again at this same time on this same station discussing issues of importance to your life and giving you ideas on how it is that we can all live that abundant life and share that abundant life with others. Thanks for being with me again, honey.
It's my pleasure.
Oh, I appreciate it so very much. We love doing Monthly Marriage Monday with you. We're always open to your questions. You can send them to us. We'll discuss them on the air. We're here for you the first Monday of every month. Of course, I'm here Monday through Friday. Wednesday, Sue Brinkman is with us. The last Tuesday of the month, John Martinoni. We want to be with you every day. God bless you now. Bye-bye.